Welcome to today's edition of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast.
Welcome to Hour 3 of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. I'm Buck here in NYC with Clay. We are in studio. We are breaking down what is a very New York-heavy news day, but of course has implications all across the country, both on the COVID vaccine mandate front and on the political accountability for a Democrat who was in the last year and a half so beloved by Democrats that he was considered a possible last minute presidential candidate for the Democrat Party, Governor Andrew Cuomo, who was found guilty by a report. I mean, it's not an actual criminal or a criminal justice proceeding, but a report, an investigation by the Attorney General's Office of the State of New York, Letitia James as AG, says that he harassed and abused 11 women as his employees in his office. He inappropriately touched them. The governor promptly came out, guns blazing, so to speak, with a rebuttal slash apologia, decided that he was going to just tell everybody that he's a good guy. He's a friend to women who are survivors of sexual assault. He's not going anywhere. And Clay, New York today, it's a New York state of mind for the news cycle because you got the governor and you got the mayor of New York getting a lot of headlines. Real quick here, Mayor de Blasio said this. Remember, de Blasio this
morning.
They
hate each other.
They absolutely despise each other.
For people who don't know.
Truly. I mean, they really do. This is not some act they put on. They really hate each other. And Cuomo is considered by many in New York politics the nastiest and most vindictive person to have ever been in politics, which, given the kind of people where, you know, you got Anthony Weiner and you got Eliot Spitzer and some of the people in New York politics in recent years are about as scummy as it gets. But de Blasio put out this statement right after, Clay. It is beyond clear that Andrew Cuomo is not fit to hold office, can no longer serve as governor. He must resign, and if he continues to resist and attack the investigators who did their jobs, he should be impeached immediately. I think you'll see a lot more comments like this, but I don't think anything's going to come of it.
That is the question, right? So the story is out there, and Andrew Cuomo said, "I never touched anyone inappropriately or made inappropriate sexual advances. That isn't who I am or have ever been." If you're out there starting off the day with us, by the way, go download the podcast. You can hear every moment of this show. Never miss anything. Search out Clay or Buck. Should also mention, by the way, we appreciate all of our EIB 24/7 subscribers. Encourage you to check out clayandbuck.com. Go sign up. You can send us emails. We may have a VIP-only phone line coming ahead. But the question that everybody's asking, Buck Sexton, is will Andrew Cuomo survive as the governor of New York or will he not? And your position is he will. My position is I can't wait to find out, because if he does, effectively, I believe Me Too's over, because it's going to be almost impossible to argue that somebody has to resign in the political universe if 11 different women, 9 of whom work under Andrew Cuomo in state government, were determined by an independent investigation by the New York Attorney General, who, by the way, is the same political party, so there's no bias argument that is easy to be made there, argued that not only did Cuomo commit sexual harassment, they said that he violated federal and state law, although there have been no charges filed so far. The White House is going to have to react to this. As we told you earlier, Joe Biden had said that Andrew Cuomo would have to step down if these allegations were found to be credible and or confirmed. As if that were not enough, we got COVID vaccine passports. The Empire State has gone wild on a Tuesday here in August.
I don't know what's going to happen. And I say this speaking from personal capacity here, as we've discussed so many times, and I hate to belabor, like, everyone out there has their own COVID situation. Have they had it? Do they think they had it? Have they gotten vaccinated? You know, there's all kinds of stuff, right? Health is as personal as an issue as you can have. But I do think that bringing some individual perspective to it can be helpful, because, I mean, I'm faced right now as a New York City resident, as a registered Republican for my entire adult life, living in this sea of blue madness. I'm faced with the prospect now of being effectively excluded from public life starting in a few weeks unless I get a shot that is medically for me entirely unnecessary. I am being told, get this shot, even though, because I'm not saying I think I had COVID. I can prove that I had COVID, positive test, hashtag science, and I have to go in there, Clay, or else. And so what really are the choices? People could say, move. Well, I don't think I can move for the next 3 weeks. I mean, you know, these things, you got to find a place. You got to set things up. I know things, you know, in places like Texas and Tennessee and Florida are starting to look a whole lot better for a lot of New Yorkers who maybe thought that things were getting better here. But what really is the answer? It feels to me like there's just not enough of a groundswell against this for people to stop this overreach from happening. And here's the problem. They're not going to give up the power. They're not going to give it back until we finally say enough and force them to stop forcing us. This will continue in different ways, in different capacities. The Biden administration, not good at the economy, not good at the border, not good at a lot of things. They're going to be leaning on COVID theater in order to make it seem like they've got a handle on governance going forward. They're not going to let loose the grip that they have on us.
Yeah, I think it's an interesting question, too, for people out there who may say, well, I don't live in New York City, right? There are a lot of people out there listening to us. The vast majority of people listening to us right now say, okay, this COVID vaccine passport business going on in New York City, which was announced today and is getting snowed under by the Andrew Cuomo news. A lot of people out there are saying, this doesn't really affect me. And what I would say to you is you need to think more broadly. First of all, almost all big city mayors end up copying each other. So if it's going to happen in New York, is Lori Lightfoot in Chicago going to do something? What about L.A.? Are they going to try to put in their own mandate as it comes to vaccine passports? The other thing I would say is, how many of you out there visit New York City? At some point in time, vacation, you're coming up for a Broadway play, you're just traveling through. How is this going to be applied? Does it apply? We talked about bars, restaurants, movies. Does it apply to hotels in some way? I would think a lot of them have bars and restaurants inside. Could you go to a hotel and not be allowed to go into the restaurant hotel? Would it apply to convenience stores? How would it apply to grocery stores? And how many people out there are going to not make this decision? As you have pointed out, Buck Sexton, looking at the numbers in New York City, the overwhelming number of people refusing to get vaccines in New York City are not Trump voters. They're not red state Americans. It's Black and Latino. So this is going to have, given the fact that Democrats are obsessed with race, a drastically disparate impact on minorities here. We've heard that asking for voter ID is racist. What about when you're not letting Black and Hispanic people into restaurants, into bars, into movie theaters?
Think about also what they're forcing employees. And remember, this is a mandate. I get very agitated. People say, oh, it's businesses. No, the businesses have been told you have to enforce
by
this.
By the state.
This is a city action.
Yes.
But this is the health department effectively saying, you do this or else we're going to shut you down. You have to check the same way that those of you, not that anybody who's listening has ever gone to a bar underage, but the same way you had to show your ID to get into bars and a lot of places I occasionally still get carded. You know, I've got to show my ID. You're going to have to show your vaccine passport to get into a restaurant, sit down and eat a meal, which is absolute, absolute madness. But I don't think that we have the groundswell yet of what do we do about it. By the way, we also have the White House going to be responding via Jen Psaki here coming up soon, to all of what's going on here. I think Cuomo will be pretty high up on the list, but as a matter of policy, the vaccine mandate for New York City is a much bigger deal than the Cuomo thing is more narrative politics and broad story. But this, as Clay pointed out, could be replicated. I think it will be replicated in other major American cities. And could it actually get worse? I mean, here's Jen Psaki from yesterday talking about how we're not going to shutdowns, but we might go to something like them.
Obviously, the president is keeping the option open of making sure that he is that the CDC and our public health officials can make recommendations on what's needed to keep the American people safe. I'm not in a position to preview that or to get ahead of any decisions they may make. What I can reiterate, though, is, and you heard Dr. Fauci and Dr. Collins reiterate this weekend, we've been clear we're not going back to the shutdowns of March of 2020. We are not going back to the economy shutting down. We've made too much progress. Too many people are vaccinated. There's been too much progress on the economic front. But again, he has said from the beginning that we are going to be guided by the science, guided by our public health experts, and we're not going to take options off the table of what they may recommend.
Not going to take options off the table. That should send a chill down your spine, Clay.
Not only that, I wonder for the vaccine passports in New York City, a lot of courts and a lot of judges were loath to step forward and challenge anything because of the panic that was surrounding COVID and the imminent danger under which many of these regulations and rules were put in place. Now that, as you pointed out earlier in the show, Buck, relatively few people are dying from COVID, is the panic and the emergency power that is given to state and federal officials and mayors going to be questioned more now? In other words, as many people out there listening to us think about this proposed New York City regulation, is it going to be able to be enforced or not? That is, from a legal perspective, a monstrous part of this story.
Right. We were never led to believe that this, the COVID lockdowns, the vaccine mandates, the masking, was to prevent all infection from happening. We were led to believe that this was to prevent hospitals from being overwhelmed with people who are severely ill and people who will die from the virus.
Yes.
Hospitals are not overwhelmed. There are not that many people going into hospitals nationwide compared to where we've been. There are very few people who are dying from COVID in major cities like New York and Washington, D.C. and Los Angeles. And yet the rules seem to be constantly adjusting as a result. But we'll come back to this, though. And, you know, I'm somebody who really believes in making sure that we fight against cancel culture, right? Social media sites are a place where you know you can get canceled by the left. They want to silence you and boycott any voices they don't agree with. Twitter and Facebook were supposed to be open platforms. I don't need their content moderators acting like the op-ed section of the New York Times. So I got an idea. How about canceling them instead? Now, you could just deactivate all your social media accounts, but that would give the left what they want. Instead, create some privacy and protection for yourself online with ExpressVPN. With ExpressVPN, you anonymize a lot of your online presence, Clay, by hiding your IP address, which makes all your activity much harder for big tech to trace.
No doubt. And Buck heard me before the show started moderating a dispute among the Travis boys over my six-year-old's gripe about my older son, and he was able to talk to me because we use ExpressVPN. And that is important because when you use ExpressVPN, you anonymize much of your online presence by hiding your IP address, and that makes your activity more difficult to trace and sell to advertisers. Couldn't be easier to use or set up. You just tap one button on your phone or computer, and you're protected. They encrypt 100% of your data to protect you from hackers and internet bad guys, which is why it's finally time to say no to censorship and take back your online privacy at expressvpn.com/Clay and Buck. By visiting our special link, you'll get an extra 3 months of ExpressVPN service for free. Again, that's expressvpn.com/Clay and Buck, expressvpn.com/Clay and Buck to protect your data today.
Welcome back to the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. This is Buck. I'm here in NYC with Clay, which is funny because it's quite a day for New York news. We had the vaccine mandate announced by the mayor, Bill de Blasio. We also have Governor Cuomo on the hot seat and then some. Clay, we just saw the White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki just do a total dodge. She was asked about whether Biden says, and she basically said, wait for him to say it.
He's supposed to talk later today, is what Jen Psaki said, because for those of you who remember, back in March, Joe Biden said that if it were determined that Andrew Cuomo had sexually harassed women, that he should step down. Now we know that 11 women have been credibly determined to have been sexually harassed, 9 of them state of New York employees. So she dodged answering on Joe Biden's behalf, but he will be speaking later today about COVID, which will certainly include the big question, is the decision made by New York's mayor to implement effectively vaccine passports, one that Biden supports? Does he think it should exist in other cities? and states around the country.
And if so, why not just say straight up, all federal employees everywhere are mandated? No ifs, ands, or buts. Now, I don't like that. I think that's terrible. But I'm just saying the lib logic here, such as it is, has to be, if New York is taking this position because they take the virus seriously, right? What about other blue strongholds where there are people who unfortunately have become infected with the mind virus, if you will, of COVID absolutism? I don't think that they're going to be any more reasonable on this stuff than New York has been. And so it's likely to have a domino effect. Look at what the mask mandates. There was just, San Francisco is now instituting a mask mandate. London Breed, the mayor there, saying they're going to have. So we got L.A., New York, San Fran, Chicago's probably next.
D.C. with obviously all the hypocrisy that's already happened there from Mayor Muriel Bowser. And this is what we talked about when they made the decision in L.A. to reinstitute mask mandates, that it was going to be something that spread. The CDC has come out and effectively said mask mandates should be a thing. And I mean, really, the question is, and this puts where the sort of rubber meets the road, Buck, what are you going to do? You and I have both had vaccines that we have not gotten so far because we already had COVID. And so we have, if you talk to a doctor, COVID antibodies. We had Rand Paul on the show to talk about the fact that the best immunity, according to many experts, you could have is to have COVID immunity naturally as opposed to getting it through a vaccine. So now you're potentially going to be faced with a decision that a lot of people all over New York City are going to be faced with. You want to go to a restaurant, you want to go to a bar, you want to go to a movie theater, you want to go to a gym, you're going to have a vaccine passport in order to enter these establishments, assuming it's enforced, which will be another question, because let's say you don't agree with the vaccine passport mandate yourself as a business owner. Will there be some defiance?
Yeah, but is this going to be almost like prohibition with speakeasies
where
there are
sneak your way in?
Yeah, vaccine free or vaccine passport free places that you find out about through word of mouth? I mean, look, it's not really a choice. If this stands, you're going to have pretty much everybody in New York City getting vaccinated who has not already been vaccinated. It's stunning that they've gone to this place. And I'm sorry, but this is the boiling frog situation that we always talk about with progressives and with authoritarian Democrats, which is they were saying earlier this year, it's not going to be a mandate. We're going to encourage people. It's your choice. You get the shot if you want the shot. You want to be protected, go ahead. And we're saying, I feel like they're probably going to get a mandate going here. Sure enough, mandate in America's largest city, which is going to, I think, have a ripple effect in a lot of cities, a lot of Democrat strongholds across the country. You know, you live in Texas. Guess what? The city of Austin. I wouldn't trust the city of Austin not to say this too at some point in the near future. A lot of other places, very blue.
It's a major challenge. We're going to continue to talk about all of this, major stories breaking all over the state of New York. And also, how about protecting what you care about the most when it comes to your memories? We want you to be able to save all those old slides, the old VHS movies, the even older photographs, and make sure they're digitized. You need to do what we did here. Make sure that those memories are preserved forever by going to legacybox.com/clay to take advantage of a limited time offer. 50% off with the magic of bringing your past back into view anytime, anywhere. How many of you out there fear losing your family's precious memories and their old imagery, whether it's VHS, whether it's old pictures, whether it is in any way non-digitized family memories? Take advantage of a great offer today. LegacyBox.com/clay, 50% off. Huge number of news stories breaking in every different direction, all over, in particular, the state of New York. As we were in commercial break, by the way, I am Clay Travis. The district attorney's office for Albany County has an ongoing criminal investigation into allegations of sexual harassment against Governor Andrew Cuomo. And they announced they plan to request the investigative materials from the state attorney general's probe. Why does that matter? Well, in her discussion of what they had uncovered, according to the New York Attorney General, they found violations of federal and state law surrounding Andrew Cuomo. So right now, the allegations are that 11 different women, nine of whom work in state government, were sexually harassed by Andrew Cuomo, given the fact that I'm assuming, again, based on the contact, when it was physical contact as opposed to just spoken, that the physical contact could be a way to bring criminal charges against Andrew Cuomo for this situation. Whether or not that changes the calculus of Andrew Cuomo's ability to remain in office, we'll see how much the pressure gets ratcheted up. We'll see what the coverage looks like going forward multiple days and what the president, Joe Biden, says in response to this.
I just want to point out, Clay, in the last segment we did, I told you that they're going to move off this as quickly as possible. Right now, the main story on CNN, we still haven't heard from the White House about Cuomo. We still haven't heard anything from even Jen Psaki about whether Cuomo should resign, because she deferred to what Biden's supposed to say this afternoon. And sure enough, CNN is already running with four police officers die by suicide after defending the Capitol. Let me just say, do we know if this police officer, the most recent one, if his suicide had anything to do with what happened at the Capitol? I doubt that CNN has done the investigative work on that one. But see, it's already happening. You watch this in real time. Fox right now on our screens, we can see Cuomo inappropriately touched women is the headline, staying on the news of the day. CNN already has, well, Ron Johnson, he's joining us tomorrow. They've got a kind of an unflattering Ron Johnson photo up there about how Ron Johnson suggests without evidence the FBI had advanced knowledge of the January 6th riot. Clay, we are seeing the Democrat propaganda machinery working in real time. Give it 48 hours. The insurrection will somehow be a bigger story on 90% of the media's radars out there than the fact that Governor Cuomo is a you know, grabbing women maniac.
I do hope. And if you want a storyline going forward associated with Andrew Cuomo, I think it will be impossible. Now, Buck, you may disagree with me, but I think it will be impossible to argue any sort of Me Too violation, for the most part, as it pertains to politically elected officials, when 11 different women credibly found to be telling the truth by an independent investigation, and Andrew Cuomo is allowed to stay in office. I just think it's going to be almost impossible to argue Me Too going forward. Doesn't mean some people aren't going to do it. I think in the general public at large, this would represent, if Andrew Cuomo stays in office, the end of the Me Too onslaught, right?
Again,
I think this is the end of it.
Well, first of all, we haven't heard about Me Too really in years. So the last time there was a major Me Too casualty, so to speak, or a Me Too
target. That's a good
question.
Who was the last person to go down for
Me
Too?
I mean, you look at Al Franken, and that was 2017, I believe. So we're going on now 4 years back when you had, and by the way, the lesson the Democrats have really taken from that since then is, oh, maybe we shouldn't have. You know, there are a lot of people that oppose the Franken resignation. And remember, Franken was replaced with a Democrat right away because the Minnesota governor's a Democrat. So they didn't lose a seat there. That was kind of a sacrificial lamb in a sense. So I'm not sure that is an example of true accountability. A better example of the double standard, in effect, is I can't even remember all three. There was Justin Fairfax, who I believe was the lieutenant governor of Virginia below Northam.
That's right.
Northam is the guy with who had the blackface or Klan photo. We can't remember which. He doesn't remember.
He doesn't know which one.
He doesn't remember which one. Justin Fairfax, the lieutenant governor below him in Virginia, accused by two women of sexual assault.
Right.
He doesn't go. And the third guy, Herring, I believe, who is, third in line. I think he's, the Speaker of the House in Virginia or something. I forget exactly his title. But he said that originally Northam should resign over the blackface issue. And then it came out that Herring was like, actually, I think I might have a blackface photo, too. This actually happened, folks. This is a real thing that occurred. And they realized that if they lose all three Democrats in a row, they were actually going to have Republican ascendancy in Virginia. So, I mean, they're willing. My point here, Clay, is just they will bend any rule. I mean, I don't want to go back to Hillary Clinton because we'll end up sitting here all day talking about how awful the Clintons are. But Hillary Clinton violated the Espionage Act over 100 times. There's recklessness as part of the Espionage Act statute that she violated. And not only did she not go to prison or have to take a plea, they didn't even charge her. So, I mean, you're coming at it from the perspective of a principled person who believes in the rule of law. I'm just trying to sit here to say a lot of Democrats just don't. The Democrat Party just does not.
Well,
they believe in power.
I do think it ties in also, we should mention, that Bill Cosby got out, right? In addition to Andrew Cuomo maybe representing the end of the Me Too movement, Bill Cosby, who went to prison because of Me Too, the Pennsylvania Supreme Court came back and said, oh, by the way, the prosecution of Bill Cosby violated Pennsylvania law, and therefore Bill Cosby is now out, and that prosecution is gone. So ultimately, you got Epstein and you've got Weinstein, who are out there as guys who have been found to have violated the Me Too universe. Epstein, obviously, no longer here. And I believe they just moved Weinstein across from New York to L.A. to face all the charges
California. Lawyer Clay, did Epstein kill himself?
The whole thing is super weird. I find it hard to believe that that based on the evidence that Epstein was killed by someone else. But that whole situation is super, super, super strange.
First MCC ever suicide in that facility that has held some of the most notorious criminals to ever face charges in the Southern District of New York.
He should have never had the ability to even be able to do that, right? For there to be an ability, usually when you are a danger, they take away anything that could allow you to kill yourself.
Go ahead.
Yeah, but so there were that they had left in that facility the ability for him to kill himself. And look, you know, we had the suicide of Aaron Hernandez. One thing that I learned while practicing law, because I would represent some people accused of criminal cases, you never really know how people are going to respond to suddenly having all of their freedom taken away and they're having to stay in this tiny room. They have access to no one else. It's hard for your life not to break down and for you not to totally fall apart. But there were some super suspicious things surrounding him.
And whatever happened to Ghislaine Maxwell? She's still in
somewhere
custody.
Somewhere in prison.
There's something going on. But not a lot of answers came out of that whole thing. The Epstein case is something we're not going to just let up on here, folks. It's something we're going to continue to keep an eye on. And Clay, I'm looking at what the trend is right now, taking us back here to not just Cuomo, but also the vaccine mandate in New York City and what's happening. I think that this is where the people that want pre-pandemic normalcy better speak up, or else they're going to enshrine a kind of forever COVID mentality here where you have to fight to get it down to zero. I mean, here's the NIH director Francis Collins saying that he's really frustrated that this has become so emotional.
I'm sorry if people think that that's a change in the guidance. Well, it's a change because of new data. Isn't that what you want your public health experts to do, is to look at the evidence and then tell you what right now is the best thing to do? And I guess I find it frustrating that the whole idea of masking has become such an emotional and, may I say, political situation. It's pretty straightforward, pretty simple. We know that masks work. They're not perfect, but they sure help.
We actually don't know that. This is the NIH director. So we actually don't. Where's the little bottle test that they do is a joke. There's actually no real solid evidence that they work in any meaningful way. That's the director of the NIH. This is why, man, we got to stay on all this stuff. Cuomo accountability. Do masks work? Vaccine passports. The Epstein trial. We got it all here, Clay.
Yeah. And we also got to let you know that it's almost 20 years since 9/11. And America vowed to never forget the 20th anniversary of 9/11 here. Let that sink in. 20 years since the deadliest terror attack on American soil. So much has changed since. One foundation remains committed to honoring the lives lost on 9/11 and the heroes who continue to serve our communities and country. That is the Tunnel to Towers Foundation. This year, they're bringing back the Towers of Light tributes at the Pentagon and Flight 93 memorials because of your support, because you remember. And what are they doing, Buck?
Chairman and CEO Frank Siller is honoring the fallen by walking more than 500 miles to connect the 9/11 sites. The morning of 9/11, he's retracing his baby brother's footsteps to ground zero 20 years later. Talk about emotional. The foundation is starting new traditions, reading the names of every person lost to 9/11 related illness, and in a separate ceremony, the names of soldiers lost in the war on terror. Help our country to never forget. Donate $11 a month at t2t.org. That's T, the number 2, T.org.
Inspired by Rush on the EIB Network.
Welcome back in. Clay Travis, Buck Sexton. Final segment of an absolutely loaded Tuesday edition of the program. Andrew Cuomo under siege after 11 different women, 9 of whom are employed in state government, are found to have legitimately been sexually harassed by him. We also have New York City announcing vaccine passports. A lot that we have been discussing. Encourage you to make sure that you don't miss a single minute. You can search out my name. You can search out Buck. Go find the podcast and subscribe. Also encourage all of you to sign up and make sure that you are a member of our 24/7 VIP. You can send emails to us. We got a couple of them sitting over here right now. All you have to do is go to clayandbuck.com. And for those of you out there, we've got a lot of things headed this direction. Tomorrow on the show, Senator Ron Johnson from Wisconsin will be with us, and Ann Coulter will be in studio with us here in New York City. Buck Sexton, do you want to take the opportunity to comment on Simone Biles winning the bronze medal? You got crushed for your sports take, something you'd never seen before. Did you have a hot take related to Simone Biles returning? By the way, we are barely ahead of China right now in the number of overall medals that have been won. What hot take do you have for the world of sports?
I don't agree with this formulation of getting crushed, Clay, because so the libs freaked out. They freak out at me about everything. I just wasn't expecting them to freak out about me saying, yeah, stepping out of an Olympics, stepping out of competition isn't usually something that's celebrated as amazing and brave. Now we have, more facts and there's all this context, although it feels like the story has changed many times since then about why the step down happened. But now she's back and she did compete. And yay, she's probably the greatest, gymnast of all time. I also want to point out that Tamira Mensah-Stock is the first American black woman in history to win Olympic gold in wrestling. Here she is speaking like what I think we could all say is a true American champion. Oh, we had it. I thought we had it.
We'll play it tomorrow.
We'll get it for you.
Oh, man,
there
we
go. Here it is.
Very happy, and I keep trying not to cry, but it keeps happening. And I just want to go into a dark room and just cry. I'm going to cry from joy.
Well, okay, that was a short version
we'll
of what you said.
We'll play it tomorrow.
Yeah, the real clip, guys, come on. The real clip was her saying she's so proud to be an American, and she's got an American flag on her shoulders.
Trying
and,
to get back in the good graces of the American sporting public with a positive clip.
No, I'm just saying. This is the way it is, man. Oh, the American sporting public, please. The only people who are they came after you, too, which is expect it.
I'm just used to it. By the way, I did get one thing wrong. Probably got more than one thing wrong on the show. But I said earlier on the show that CNN had Jeffrey Toobin on. I mean, this guy is a dead ringer for Jeffrey Toobin. It was actually David Chalian. Yeah. So we got two televisions behind us, and I just turned around and I said, I thought Jeffrey Toobin had just gotten a little bit fatter. They look almost identical other than their weight. So my apologies to CNN. And they do still employ Jeffrey Toobin, but they didn't bring him on as their expert in sexual harassment. They would have, however, brought him on as their expert if he hadn't had his treating his body like an amusement park issue when he was working for The New Yorker.
David Chalian was, I believe, fired from Yahoo News for saying that Mitt Romney was happy to throw a party, quote, while black people drown, end quote, in that was had to do with a hurricane. And he then went on, after being fired by Yahoo, to get hired to be political director at CNN. So actually a promotion, I'm sure, for more money, because that's how Democrats and the Democrat media tend to operate. But nonetheless, Clay, we have quite a fight on our hands here. We have quite a situation unfolding before us with not only the Biden White House going to, I think, operate with a huge, obvious double standard here. They're going to come out and say, I know, Biden's going to do some, we take it very seriously. We're going to, it's important. No joke. You got to listen to folks and the facts. But, I leave it to Governor Cuomo to make the final determination. He's not going to actually do anything. He's not going to call for him to step down. He's going to say, you know, we really care about sexual harassment, but I don't expect any action to be taken here. And then I wonder what he's going to say as well. It's going to be coming up here just a little bit after we're off the air about the vaccine passport issue, because if the federal government gets in on this game too, we got big problems.
I think people need to file lawsuits in New York. And I think it should happen soon. What is the date? It's in September, right, where the date is going to start to be applied in terms of, for those of you out there who are just joining us right now, this got snowed under during the Andrew Cuomo news, which we've obviously spent a lot of time on. But New York Mayor Bill de Blasio said that if you want to go to restaurants, bars, movies, or any of those locations, such as those, you're going to need gyms, you're going to need a vaccine passport. And so I believe it goes into effect in September. Between now and then, one, hopefully the number of overall COVID cases declines substantially and people come back to their senses. But two, I think you need to go ahead and file a lawsuit and be able to challenge that going forward beyond a shadow of a doubt. That needs to happen.
Clay, can you get some of your law buddies to get together and file some lawsuits here in New York? Because otherwise, they're going to force the Buckster to get a shot. And I don't want to get the shot, but I got no choice right now. So
I would wait if I were you. You've got already the natural COVID vaccines, which Rand Paul came on and said, it was a good discussion we had a couple of weeks ago, are more reliable than a vaccine would be. And so I think that's the play that you should follow. But man, what an absolutely crazy day in New York with Andrew Cuomo, with vaccine passports. What in the world could happen for tomorrow? We have got a loaded show for everybody
out there. Ron Johnson.
That's
Senator
right.
Ron Johnson, Ann Coulter. Plus on Thursday, Dinesh D'Souza. I love Dinesh. Alex Berenson.
In studio with us.
In studio with us here in New York. We're going to deep dive into all this madness. And please make sure you check out Clay on Twitter, at Clay Travis. Follow me at facebook.com/Buck Sexton. If you're not already, we're going to have a rocking show for you tomorrow. We'll talk to you then.